are now listening to Lower Road Radio.
Hey, welcome one and all to the number one podcast, winter, spring, and fall. Talking sports for the thrill of it all. Hey, talking life, but we're killing it all. Jason and Dan with the master plan. These are dangerous men with the mic in the hand. Ha! Bonafide winners everywhere that we go. You're a part of the team.
Lower Road Radio.
Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right. What? Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right. Yeah. Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right.
What? Bonafide winners everywhere that we go. You're a part of the team.
Lower Road Radio.
Let's get it.
What?
What's wrong? But it is now. Just run with it.
Let's run with it. Let's do it. At Tanagra, when the walls fell, this is Dan Owings coming at you another time for Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, Jason. We don't even know if this will ever air. I mean, for all we know.
There was an
update done.
Yeah.
And in the update, some confusing thing happened. Our producer tried to get us to restart, but we're like...
She makes every penny. Mm-hmm. She's worth every penny that we pay her.
Yeah. We're like a fat kid running down a hill, you know? Once you get started...
There's no stopping.
There's no stopping them.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
I thought so.
Do you just make that up?
Just made it up. Yeah,
that's I like that.
You know what? I think I'm going to be a comedian.
Really?
Well, no, I'm not going to be a comedian because it takes a lifetime of work. But I'm going to go. I'm going to an open mic,
dude. You look at my search history.
Mm-hmm.
About a week ago, I was searching for open mics.
I'm going to do it.
We should do it together.
I've done the same search.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to wait for COVID to blow over.
Yeah.
Stuff like that when the world can get back to normal. But I'm going to do an open mic.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And I expect to bomb. I understand that. Nobody does well their first time. It takes years and years and years of bombing before
can
you
start.
Can we
do a two-man Abbott and Costello?
I don't think that's a good idea. My material is, I'm building up a list of bits as they were.
Why can't I be in the bit?
My coffee went down the wrong tube. Why can't you be in the bit? I mean, I guess you could, but I don't know. You know, this is like a me thing. I just got to do something for myself. My plan is to go and that nobody will even know. I mean, my wife's not even going to come. I'm just going to go by myself to a nightclub.
Yeah.
My material's pretty...
you should try it on the show.
It's highly inappropriate. It's TVMA, you know. I mean, yeah.
That's why you're not sharing it now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, Nate Bargatze is a clean comic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're the opposite of that.
Yeah, it's not good, you know. I mean, I've never performed it, but.
I mean, in the mirror, in the bathroom, many times.
I'm embarrassed by the things that I've seen.
I shame myself.
It's low-hanging fruit, you know what I mean? So, I do have a list of things that I think might be funny, but you know, who knows? Maybe I'll do it one day. It's just a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
It's not so that I can be a professional comedian because I don't have time to commit to that. But as a bucket list, I do want to do an open mic.
I think it would be fun.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. I searched it myself.
Sometimes
literally
I have some mini bits.
Yeah.
Like I got this whole thing about there's nothing to it more than this. But there's a specific face, like Eric and I like to watch mysteries on television, Sherlock, things like that. And there's a specific face that I make to Erica when, like, we're both watching the television, you know, we're both watching it, and something, like, interesting happens, you know what I mean? Something that, like, might kind of, and there's a specific face I realized that I make to her.
Wait, let me guess.
Because I want to have this whole thing of impressions of myself that I do.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know?
Let me guess the, like...
the. No. It's more like it's like that kind of look. You're watching. It's this knowing. Ooh. Like I can't like what's happening now is really interesting. So I don't want to interrupt it by saying anything. But just the did you?
Yeah.
You know. And nothing's more disappointing than when you're watching something with someone, and the only person I watch things with is my wife, and. You know, that moment happens and you want to make that human connection.
Yeah.
And so you look over and she's on her phone. You're like, what are you even? Why are we even doing? I could just watch sports. if
I wanted to.
But yeah, if you're just going to be on your phone,
yeah,
then I'll just read a book or something, you know? Yeah. I mean, I'm living for that moment, you know? So,
what would her reply, facial reply, be?
Kind of like a knowing nod. Yeah. You know, who knows? We'll see where this goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually get the eye roll.
But that's just common for many things for you. I mean, that's just...
Whatever I say, it's an eye roll.
That's appropriate.
Yeah.
That's appropriate.
I think I'm going to do an open mic. <I'm> you? Open mic?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see where it goes.
That kind of actually... Can I get into my first thing, or are you ready for
Listen,
Netflix?
Listen, we can do the Netflix. You can talk about something. I can talk about... We could ask Stella what she thinks about things. You know, we can do this any
okay, well, this
number
first thing
of ways.
Could possibly apply to her.
Okay.
You're sitting watching a show in the living room.
I do that.
Do you have a dedicated spot that you sit?
Well, when I'm by myself or with the family...
All of it.
Okay. When I... Well, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Our furniture just got moved.
Because of the Christmas tree. Right. So let's eliminate the Christmas tree.
I don't remember what it was like before.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
I'm not good at remembering. I honestly don't. If you asked me to rearrange
it. Was like 2 weeks ago.
I honestly. Your
living room's not
that big.
If
you put a gun to my head.
I think I could remember it. TV, couch, chair, love seat.
I don't remember where the chair was. Okay. I remember where the couch and the love seat were, but I don't remember the chair. Doesn't matter. What was I saying?
Your spot. Do you have a designated spot? Does Erica have a designated spot?
Well,
do the kids?
When I'm by myself. See, now that the chair is not really facing the TV, it's kind of facing
like the window
towards the living room. It's like, you know, so when I'm sitting on the chair, I have to be looking over.
Yeah.
So that's no good. So couch with my feet up on the coffee table thing directly in front of the TV.
Right.
And so that my right side, there's a coffee table or there's the end table here so that I can put my drink right there.
Right.
So that's my standard spot. Arm up here, feet up, lean back, TV's right in front of me.
Okay.
And when I'm by myself.
Erica has a spot.
Well, that's her spot when, you know, we're together.
Uh-huh.
So she likes that spot. Abby always takes the chair. She likes the chair. She runs for the chair. She wants the chair. And, you know, I'll just take wherever, you know, when the family's together. We don't have like 100% dedicated places.
Gotcha. Okay. So I have a spot and it's my recliner.
Yeah.
It's my recliner. Daddy's chair. Shelby, we've lived in this house for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
We moved here in 2016
mm-hmm.
and it's 2020. So 4 years. She has always sat in the love seat on the same wall. That love seat has never moved. Some other pieces of furniture, Christmas, different things have moved.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Couch, chair, whatever. She has sat in that seat for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I get home from work today, and she's sitting on the couch, like beside my recliner. And Gideon's in the room, and I said, did you switch spots?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, and Gideon like repeats it. He's like, did you switch spots?
This is a big deal.
And I said, I don't, you know. And she goes, I'm just trying some things out right now. She's like, I'm in between spots.
Yeah.
She's trying to figure things out.
I just love the thought of you walking in, seeing that she's sitting in a different place, and immediately coming to the realization, like, she's telling me she's going to leave, finally.
Something's up. Like, something happened. I might be in trouble.
Yeah.
I don't, you've moved spots.
Yeah.
This is a problem. This is a problem.
You're a creature of habit.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I like new and different, but if it's true, if it's good, I mean, if it's
tested.
Yeah.
Tried and true. Listen, we've been doing this for 4 years.
Listen, that's your chair.
Don't rock the boat.
This is my chair.
Mm-hmm.
We're good.
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen when you switch chairs? Do you think life's going to get better?
You know, variety is the spice of life.
Is
Jason.
It?
I find it to be, you know.
Man, tried and true, tested. I like it.
You do. You're like a listen to the same album a million times kind of guy.
Watch the same movie over and over. All of it.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I'm not that way. I'm always looking for something different. Never quite satisfied.
I'm overly satisfied with everything.
Overly satisfied.
Yeah. I mean, no matter if I'm drinking, like this coffee,
yeah,
pretty good coffee.
It's fine. Yeah. Okay.
But I'm satisfied with it.
Mm.
I'm not like, man, I really wish I had some cream in here.
I'm like, how can I make this coffee just a little bit better?
See, that's the difference between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just happy with whatever.
You're, how did you put that?
Overly satisfied.
Satisfied.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not a good thing.
Why?
Well,
it just means I'm always satisfied. You're never satisfied. Something's always wrong. Something always could be better.
Something could always be better. Yeah.
Dude, you're never satisfied.
Yeah. Maybe. That might be the case.
It's so hard to find
okay,
one rich man
enough.
Of 10 with a satisfied mind.
Jason, have you been watching The Great British Bake Off?
Yeah, we finished it.
What do you think?
I think Laura should never have been in the finals.
You think so?
Laura was awful. So, she should have left week 6.
You think so?
Yes.
So I was doing some, I was reading an article about it today.
So it was Dave that won, right?
No, Peter won.
Peter won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the article.
That's what I was thinking. I think actually Dave did better in the finale.
Yeah, I felt
Peter's
so.
Body of work was better.
Well, they're not supposed to take the body
of work.
That's what they say.
I feel like that's what they did.
Apparently Laura's been getting a lot of blowback. And apparently like previous season people who were in the Laura situation where they went further, you know, and your favorite person got kicked off and they made it. Like there was this one lady, she was talking about she's a veterinarian and people will call after the show aired, people would call the veterinarian's office, ask to speak to her, say, I got a question about my cat. She'd pick up, hey, this is whatever. How can I help you? I'm gonna come to your house and kill you. You should, I mean like death threats, you know? So here's what Laura tweeted.
Okay.
This is November 18th.
Okay.
At 3:32 a.m. It is easy to sit there on your sofa and judge, but I am a real person with feelings. Please take a moment to consider your words before you judge someone you've never met and whose food you've never tasted.
Mm.
Jason, does that make you change your tune a little bit about Laura?
No. No. Her work.
Not at all.
No.
I mean, there's no part of you that's like, no. You know what? Maybe, you know, maybe I.
Her workstation was constantly a mess.
That's true.
It is
true. She was the messiest ever.
Yeah.
She's like, constantly like dropping things.
Yeah.
And when she did the chocolate, it was just like was cascading off of her. She's like, whoops.
During the judging, you know, they're wearing aprons.
Mm-hmm.
Handprints everywhere, all over her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's always doing this. Like,
yeah.
Like Erica noticed that like a lot. She would be like, she'd be messing with her stuff. And she'd do that like, oh gosh. I mean,
yeah.
I know that they were all like double tested for COVID and everything, and so she didn't have it. But on some level, that's just gross.
It is gross.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I don't, my favorite, the one I was rooting for was Lottie. I wanted Lottie instead of
Laura.
Yeah,
you like the sarcastic ones.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And Lottie was the sarcastic one.
There's always one.
Ruby, the Indian from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
She was one of my favorites, too.
Mm-hmm.
There was another Indian in the tent. And the line that we quote all the time in our house when we're watching it, she goes, at least I wasn't the worst Indian in the tent.
Yikes.
But it was just fun and dry and sarcastic and just... I like that person.
Apparently, this season has gotten a lot of blowback. A lot of people...
Negative.
Some people were upset because they felt there were some racial elements to it. First of all, there's some accusations that Laura made it because she's white over Ermine, who didn't make it.
I didn't like her at all.
Ermine wasn't great, but she deserved to be there above Laura. And second of all, the Japanese week.
Yeah.
Apparently that was racist because it wasn't really Japanese and they were using like Indian flavors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's the bald dude's name? He referred to something as poo-poo curry or something like that.
Yeah.
Apparently that was racist. Apparently the show...
People just like to be upset.
The show is apparently extremely racist, according to these people.
It's not.
And they should just...
Listen, I watch every episode. It's not.
Yeah?
Unless I too am racist.
That's impossible.
No, it's people, listen, people's feelings get hurt too easily.
Agreed.
Am I right?
No, we're living in a hypersensitive culture. There's no doubt about
that. Yeah, I mean, stop.
Stop.
Just stop. Just
toughen Don't be up. Offended. Everything will be fine.
Now, it's okay to be hurt, and people are hurt. I'm not saying that
that doesn't... backtracking? No, listen. Like you're backtracking.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Listen, stand your ground.
I'm
people
not
are
saying
wimps,
it doesn't.
And they just need to get over it.
You're ugly. Get over it.
Mm. Yeah.
No, I think there is... People do get picked on. People do have hard times.
Yeah.
Racism is real. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying none of, you know, that stuff does exist.
Got it.
Having said that, people take it way overboard.
Well, I think my problem is when people become offended for other people.
Oh, that's even worse.
You know, like Armin apparently, responded and said, no, this wasn't, don't attribute that to me. Like
when people are looking to be offended.
Yes.
That's my problem. Mm-hmm. Whether it's for themselves or for someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, don't look for the offense. It's like some things are just things.
Yeah.
A word can just be a word. There's no negative emotion behind it.
Yeah.
Just because I say something doesn't mean it's like this deep-rooted evil hatred going back 400 years in my family. You know, I mean, people imagine all sorts of crazy things.
What do you think the Owings were like 400 years ago?
I think we were probably potato farmers.
In Wales?
Yeah.
Potato farmers?
Yeah, I think so.
Are there a lot of potato farmers in Wales?
Well, see, that's the thing. In Ireland, there is.
Yeah.
But I think there was a market in England for English potatoes.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't want those Irish potatoes.
No.
I want some Welsh potatoes.
That's right. Welsh potatoes is
what you think
at.
We were potato farmers?
I think we were potato farmers.
That's not a bad life.
Listen, I think I could be a potato farmer.
I think I could be...
It could be a good life.
Yeah. I mean, and your potatoes would be fine. And you'd be like, they're fine.
They're
and
fine.
I'd always be like, I think, what if we buried them that much deeper? Maybe we can make them a little bit better. I'm not satisfied with them.
Some years you would have an awful crop, and maybe other years it'd be better. But mine are consistent. I just got good potatoes.
Just like a B-plus potato.
Listen, I'm happy with a B-plus potato. It doesn't have to be A-plus. But it's better than a C-plus.
And I'm striving for the A-plus.
But occasionally hit a C.
Every once in a while. It's
I don't
happen.
Want an average potato. I'll take the above-average potato. Just
well, I don't
tried,
know.
Tested, and
I
true.
Mean, I think a B-plus potato, though...
It's pretty good. It's above average.
I mean, maybe we should have said a B.
I'm okay with a B potato.
Are you a B potato you're okay with?
Yeah. It's better than an average potato.
What's your favorite kind of potato? Real quick, Mount Rushmore of potatoes. Redskin, russet, Idaho, sweet.
Idaho. It's my favorite.
I don't think that an Idaho potato is a kind of potato. I
no,
said
they're
that.
Grown in Idaho.
Well, I know.
It's a rustic Idaho.
Is a russet?
Yeah.
Potato? Well, then so
you didn't silence your phone, did you?
Nope. That is my bad. Terry Hirner wants to know if our show is on Parler. Jason, is our show on Parler?
We have a Parler account.
Mm-hmm.
And our show is on Rumble.
Okay. There you go, Terry.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Up to the minute news. So I don't think any potato grown in...
To be an Idaho potato has to be grown in Idaho.
Mount Rushmore potatoes. Russet potatoes grown in Idaho. Let's just assume all potatoes are better grown in Idaho. Redskin. Okay. I'm a big fan of the redskin potato.
They're fine.
What?
The little...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're better for mashed potatoes than your other kind of potato. Sweet potato.
Yeah.
And hot potato.
Yeah. That's it.
When's the last time you played hot potato?
15 years? Maybe. No. I think I've played sooner. I've played with my kids before. It's probably Stella. Well, Stella's 17.
She's 17. She just turned 17.
Yeah. That's scary.
Halfway to 34.
Congratulations.
How's that feel? Halfway to 34.
I told her a year from now she'll be living on her own.
Yeah.
I mean, the
Whether
day she turns 18, good
Hit
luck.
Hit the door. That's what I always tell Levi. He's got a couple more months than she does. So he can watch her fail and then figure it out.
They could probably be roommates.
They're within walking distance to the homeless shelter. So they should be fine.
They'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. It'll teach them a good lesson.
It will.
You know?
Yeah. Work hard or live on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So switching spots. That's where this whole thing started from.
Yeah.
Shelby switched spots.
Is she sticking it out
there? I
don't
know this. It happened. I was leaving the house. Mm-hmm. I came home and I had to leave.
And this rocked Gideon's world.
It rocked my world and Gideon's world. Like, the whole thing's messed up.
I want to talk about Gideon for a second.
Yeah.
So Gideon and I, we both have a problem with the door handle thing.
Yes.
So explain the door handle thing.
So when a door is locked,
mm-hmm.
there's a power unlock button.
Yes.
In all vehicles,
mm-hmm.
all new vehicles.
Yeah.
And you have to wait until you hit the power unlock.
Yes.
Before you can open up the car door.
Yes.
If you prematurely try to pull the handle
mm-hmm.
before you unlock it.
Yes.
And then you unlock it, it mm-hmm. stays locked.
Or if the moment you hear the sound, you pull real quick, you might not, it like depending on how catch. Fast your reaction
then
is.
Then you have to lock and unlock it again.
You have to wait for it to completely...
Yeah,
wait, sound over.
But then when it goes for lock and then unlock,
right?
Then you try to pull it again
mm-hmm.
during the lock portion
right.
versus the unlock portion.
And so you'll stand there and tell Gideon, take your hand off, don't open it up, and yeah, you'll do
wait,
the thing.
Just wait.
And he'll pull it real quick.
Yes.
You know,
trying
you
to time it up
5-6 times in yes. a row. Until
and he's
he
pulled
rips
off every
door.
Handle off of my car, except for the driver door handle.
That's the only one
which
you got.
The only one I use. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the other day, I'm walking to the van, and I got my keys fob in my hand. And I did it to myself. I had the key fob in the left hand. And I went to get open. Well, first of all, I went to open the door and realized it was locked. And because I wasn't thinking about it. And so then, as I go to unlock it with my left hand, I pull it like before I can press the button. I did it to myself. So, I mean, I don't think you should take it personal. This is a me thing, you know, when I do that. I you wouldn't think that's possible, but I did it to myself.
No,
I did.
Listen. That's why I think it's so funny, because I can totally see that.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Well, I did it to myself. Yeah.
You're also the one that would get fingers randomly stuck in Coke bottles.
That was a common occurrence. Well, because here's the thing about it is, well, we used to have, that's when we used to get glass Coke bottles, and you take them back
and
recycle them and you get a little bit of money, 5 cents
get
per
the refund
or, something
or
like
whatever.
That. And, you know, you drink the Coke bottle, and I would always, I put my finger in it, and I'd always think, maybe it could go a little bit further, a little bit further.
Yeah.
And you get to the point, and then, and it's stuck on there.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to get butter or something to get it off.
Yeah.
And boy, it's.
That happened more than once.
It happened, I mean, a lot of times. I couldn't even tell you how many times it happened.
I mean, from memory, I can remember three vivid times where we thought we were going to have to go to the hospital.
Because it was so stuck on
yes.
there. Yeah. And the more you struggle, you know, what happens is it gets down there even further, and then you get it even more in trouble.
I mean, three vivid separate memories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Most of them were Diet Coke bottles, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that means about me.
No, but Gideon would do the same thing.
He would.
Yes, absolutely. Teddy probably would too.
Maybe.
I've never had that problem. Because I'm satisfied. I don't have to.
You're satisfied. It's fine. I don't
it's
have
fine.
To.
It's fine. I don't have
finger.
To do that.
I'm like,
and you're always
could.
Pushing
maybe
the
I
limit.
Could. Maybe yeah. I could. Maybe
that's why I could. You break things too.
I do break
everything.
Things. Mm-hmm.
I have this conversation with my kids frequently. This whole dad advice. What starts off taking a ball and rolling it back and forth on the ground
mm-hmm.
turns into a tackle football game.
Yes.
Things always escalate.
Right.
They always ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
What starts off as, you know, you can't touch my hand turns into running through the house, you know, slapping at each other.
Yeah.
Right? Things always build up.
So what's the advice? Like, just don't do anything?
Don't do anything. Just sit. Can you not just sit
can
there?
You just watch TV. Just
listen.
If you just sit there and watch TV until it's time to go to bed, then you'll be fine.
Listen, is this fun? We're watching this together.
Mm-hmm.
Father and son.
Do you have to do the thing with the hand touching?
Stop
or do you
it.
Have to do the
Stop.
Ball?
Don't touch just, each other.
Yeah. Hmm.
So that's the rule in our house.
Don't do
touch,
anything?
Don't. No, we don't touch each other. Because one touch turns into tackle football.
Yeah.
And things break, including people and bodies and things. Mm-hmm. Everything in my house is broken.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I mean, some things have been put back together, you know.
Yeah, but at a certain point, I'm like, I'm just waiting until they're out before I start fixing things.
Oh, or buying new things. Yeah, you just, absolutely, that's the way to go. Yeah.
So, buy a lot of disposable things knowing they're going to break.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the way to go. All right. Do you got something or should I?
I have lots of things.
All right. What you got? What are you doing?
I thought you were going to get ready for the Netflix.
Well, we could do the Netflix.
Is that what you want
to do? We can do it whenever we want to do it.
I already hit that.
I've had too much coffee today. And it's warm in here.
Netflix, Netflix, watch these shows with us. Netflix, Netflix, or maybe Hulu Plus. Netflix, Netflix, watch these shows with us. Netflix, Netflix, or maybe Hulu Plus. Or maybe Amazon Prime or something like that, like YouTube. We don't want to put a box around what you watch, so you never know.
Jason, what is your Netflix suggestion of the week?
Queen's Gambit on Netflix.
Queen's Gambit.
The Queen's Gambit.
The Queen's Gambit.
Yes, it's an eight-part series on Netflix.
I think it's based on a novel, a book.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was based on a book. I think on Audible, you can listen to it in 11 hours.
It's what you would call historical fiction. Would you call it historical fiction?
Yes, based on...
A time period. Mm-hmm.
Fictional story in a historic time period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was done very well.
Yeah.
How far did you get into it?
Maybe six episodes.
Yeah, so you're only two away from finishing it. It really is a great story. Mm-hmm. I mean, high moments, low moments, you know, the walk through this girl's life.
So she's a young woman who is excellent at chess. Doesn't find it out till she's a kid. And
she starts off, basically, she's orphaned and has to go live in a girl's home.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, she is a loner. She never fits into the crowd and always getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
She sees the janitor playing chess.
Mm-hmm.
And something clicks on the inside of her.
And she's like I want to know what that is.
Just walking by, she could kind of pick up on what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked to play, and he said no. And it happened again and again. And finally, he's like, sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And he teaches her the game.
And in no time.
In no time, she's beating him every time.
Yeah.
So then they bring a member of the local chess club.
Mm-hmm.
And he both of them play her back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, she's playing two games. They're playing one game. She beats them both.
Yeah.
Then they take her to the high school, and she plays the whole high school chess team.
As like a kid.
As a kid, mm-hmm. as like a 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Beats them all.
Yeah. She's a prodigy.
She is a prodigy. Mm-hmm. And so you see her life kind of fluctuate up and down, highs and lows. She ends up getting adopted.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up doing a tournament, winning this tournament, winning $500 cash.
Mm-hmm.
And she just elevates from there, ends up being the world champion.
Yeah, and her life's got some ups and downs and highs and lows.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great... And the thing I love about it, it reminded me so much of when we were kids, the whole USA versus the Russia,
or the USSR. Soviet Union.
The Soviet Union.
Yeah.
I mean, it's classic... It wasn't in the 1980s. It was like the 60s and 70s.
But still, that was...
It was during the Cold War.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were at the end of the Cold War, but it felt very much USA versus Russia.
Yeah, that's...
It doesn't get better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that storyline is fabulous. And the Russians were so good at chess.
Which is true.
Which is 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
And they were experts.
Yeah.
The thing that they said in the movie, and I think it's probably true... is Americans are so individualized that they want to be the champion by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians were playing as a team.
So there's
they would go through every game, every chess move, everything, and they would work together to solve problems.
So there's this really good documentary. I don't know what it's on now. It was quite a while ago when I watched it, but I think it's called Magnus. And it's about the I don't know if he is now, but the world champion chess player. He is, I believe, Swedish, some Norwegian. Maybe he's from Norway or Denmark.
Some weird European country.
One of those, yeah. Scandinavian countries. So he, very much like this girl in the fictional movie, was a prodigy. I saw a video of him like as like a 12 or 13 year old, went to Harvard, played 10 professors at Harvard.
Yeah.
Played 10 professors all at the same time, blindfolded, and beat them all.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Yeah. So you know these 10 professors are like probably pretty good chess players.
Right.
I mean, they'd kill us.
Right.
You know, he beats them all blindfolded simultaneously.
Yeah.
And so they just tell him rook to R.
And he could do it in his...
And keep track of every board.
Yeah.
So he's eccentric and individualistic. And at the time, while he's kind of like working up in the ranks, the guy that's the champion is from India. And apparently in the Indian chess culture is really deep right now. Like it's, but it's the same thing, is this guy from India had a whole team of people around him, and they were running computer simulations nonstop all day, every day, about like they had every match that Magnus had ever played, and they had it all in a algorithm, or, right. You know, they had it all figured out. And so when he does this, then he'll, you know, and they had it all figured out. And this guy is just getting fed this information. So he's got like 10 different people working for him,
right,
doing all of this work, giving him what he needs. And the guy's obviously a genius,
right?
You know, and this is how he beats everybody. And it's crazy because the chess is like its own world.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy. It's, yeah. It's like this crazy world. And when you're watching the documentary, they're showing like the live play-by-play of this chess match when Magnus finally becomes champion and beats this Indian dude. And the Indian dude makes a move, and then Magnus kind of... And then he does this. And when he does this, the place goes nuts. Yeah. Like, everybody's like, what? You know, like, what? And people are like talking like, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, this is unprecedented. Nobody's ever done this before. I'm like... I don't know. There's like 20 pieces. There's like 50 spaces. Could it be that crazy? You know what I mean? But like the moment he does it, everybody goes nuts. Like,
yeah.
And the guy from India kind of like, you know, and it completely threw him because he's, you know, this guy is working off of instinct,
right.
You know, which is why they've had a hard time making a computer program that can beat a human, because a chess game has their... They don't even know how many possible chess games there are. Mathematicians have spent hours and hours and hours trying to figure out what is the number of this many billion potential chess games.
Yeah.
The number that they've come up with is like 1 in 100 zeros or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it's basically infinite.
Right.
And so a computer cannot simulate every single possible thing.
Right.
And so at some point the computer has to guess, and humans are much better at that, you know,
right,
than computers are. And but this guy just plays off of instinct a lot, and he's a lot more kind of like rash, kind of like her in the show. And so if you're into that sort of thing, it made me want to play chess.
Is it a real story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a documentary.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Yeah.
And what's it on?
I think it was on Netflix. But like I said, I watched it a few years ago.
Magnus,
I think is what it's called. And it's really well done,
kind
of his life story. All of that, the Queen's Gambit, that it always like makes me want to play chess.
Yeah.
And then I started to play chess. I'm like, I'm not just...
I think I told you, we might have talked about it, but I had to get a tire repair at National Tire and Battery.
Okay.
And it was going to be a couple...
NTB?
NTB?
You went to NB?
I went to NTB. So I went to MTB.
We're talking NTB.
And I dropped the van off, and it was going to be like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking around. Panera's across the street.
Yeah.
I'll go to Panera. I don't want to sit at NTB for 2 hours. So I walk across the street. I'm sitting in the Panera, and I want to find a spot where I can sit down and watch.
So you can see
the
car
van
come out.
That's right. Mm. And when it's done, I can just walk over.
You're so much like our father.
I can't help it. I am who I am. So I get my coffee. I find a seat, and I sit there.
That's good.
And there's a couple guys sitting off to the side, and they said, what? You're making fun of me?
Uh-huh.
And, I am my father's son.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it. I've tried not to be. I am. I am who I am.
The greatest compliment that dad can give is that's good.
That's good.
And he says it in a tone like, I don't want to say this, but
that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, like he makes a bad, that's good. You know what I mean?
So anyways, get my coffee.
I'm looking at the van.
That's good.
And there's two or three guys sitting off to the side playing chess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the one guy comes over to me. He's like, do you play chess?
Yeah.
I said, you know, I know
where
how.
The pieces go.
Yeah. I said, it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, if you want to, I said, I'm just waiting for my van.
And part of you is like, what if I'm a genius?
Yeah. Well, I did think that. So I,
What if I sat down and just leveled these guys?
So I did. I sat down with them because I can't not.
No, it's a nice invitation. Can you see your car at this point? Or has he thrown you off of
No, I still can see the car.
Okay, good.
So that was the most important part.
Good.
And so I sit down and we start playing. And my mindset was, I only have 2 hours, you know, with the van.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less. I don't know. Maybe they get it done right away.
Listen.
I don't want to be stuck in a chess game.
No.
So I'm not going to sit here and analyze everything all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just going to play with my gut fast.
Do it. Yeah.
I'm going to play fast.
Speed chess.
It wasn't quite speed chess, okay. But I played fast.
Uh-huh.
Not like super fast, but...
Is there a thing?
There wasn't a thing.
Oh, that's too bad.
But they had their own boards and their own... I mean, they were ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm like, I'm going to be super aggressive. Mm. And any chance I get, I'm going to take pieces.
Yeah.
And I'll
make
swap.
This guy go, what is he doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going
to
swap.
He's so out of the box.
If I can go bishop to bishop and I'll even swap, eliminate him off the board. Maybe I can go for a draw where there's no pieces left. It's just a king on the board. That's it.
Uh-huh.
That was my strategy.
Yeah. No, it's a good strategy.
And, like, we played 3 games. On the 3rd game, he's like, you could be a good player. He beat me like 3 times.
Yeah.
He's like, you could be a good player. I said, I like what you're doing.
Yeah.
He's like, but and then he starts explaining to me, if you just did this, this, and this, you know.
And you're like,
I mean, listen.
I would say your ceiling for chess is much higher than my ceiling.
Oh, without a doubt. I enjoy chess. I really do. I think it's fun. You know, in Oklahoma, the church that we were at, we went on a church retreat and, you know, took, I don't know, 40 or 50 people there. Adults, 40, mm-hmm. 50 adults. And I brought a chess board with me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, that maybe 1 or 2 guys will play.
Yeah.
It was like the hit of the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And like everybody wanted to play,
you
know, everybody. And there's an old guy named Don.
Mm.
Don's.
There always is.
Yeah, he's since passed away. Mm. But he was 87 years old. Man, he sat there and he watched, I mean, for the 2.5 days, he just sat there and watched the chess board.
Yeah.
You know, it was great.
It's crazy how chess is so, it's like Go. In that way too, it's own world, like this giant world that people have literally dedicated their lives to. And it seems like obsessive personalities get to a point where they're just thinking about it all the time, and it's all they want to do. I don't get that.
No, it's fun. I think I've taught my kids Stella and I taught Harrison how to play, but it's been a while. I think with a few refresher,
Levi and I used to play
somewhat
regularly there for a while, and you know, it's, I don't know.
I think it's a good mental thing.
I'm sure that it is. It's better than watching TV, but, you know.
Listen, would I rather watch Columbo or play some chess?
Mm.
I'd rather watch Columbo.
Yeah.
But
what if there's a Columbo-themed chess set? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean.
Columbo's currently my favorite TV show.
Yeah?
I'm digging it.
But that's not your Netflix suggestion.
No, Queen's Gambit. What's Queen's your Netflix? Gambit.
My Netflix suggestion of the week is there is a movie on Netflix. On my Netflix profile, you can see
the one that's labeled Jason O.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It is, it's a new movie that just came out. It's called Hillbilly Elegy.
Okay.
It's got Amy Adams, Glenn Close, some guy I've never heard of, and some other people. And so there's this book, Hillbilly Elegy. It's a Ron Howard movie, by the way.
Okay.
There's a book called Hillbilly Elegy that was pretty popular a few years ago, and I've always seen it and thought, maybe I'll read that, but then never did. And basic story, it's about this kid, the family's from Kentucky. He grew up in Middletown, Ohio.
Okay.
So his family moved to Middletown his grandparents and then started a life there. And then Middletown, Ohio, very much like many other towns in Ohio, it's factory town, factory leaves, get shut down, people are out of work, poverty, drugs, you know, just this, you know. And so he grows up in Middletown, Ohio, and he's got a rough life. His mom is a drug addict, and his grandparents are split up, and it's just a lot of drama, a lot of, like, hillbilly kind of redneck type of, I mean, you know, You know. You know.
Come on.
Anyway, this kid ends up going to Yale to become a lawyer, and then he has to go back, and that's what the movie is based around mostly. It kind of like goes back and tells his whole life, but it's kind of centered around this time that he has to go back to Middletown to deal with some stuff from Yale. So it is it's TVMA because the language is kind of rough in some spots, which is totally believable that these people would talk this way because, you know. And so there's some language, just so you know. But man, it was so affecting. Like, I just thought the movie was so emotional. I thought it was so real. I guess there have been some criticism that it's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Stereotyping this kind of person. But I'm telling you,
if you grew up around these people,
this is like, you nailed it. This is happening in thousands of homes across this country.
Yeah.
Like what you're specifically this area of the country, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia,
Michigan, Pennsylvania.
There's just this town that used to be something, all the factories left, a lot of poverty. And there's this point where Glenn Close is looking at him, talking about his mom and like frustrated. And he was like, she just quit. She just stopped trying, you know? And I just thought, man, that is just, I mean, it was just, it honestly, it was the kind of movie when it was over, I let the credits roll. I listened to the song and I just sat there. I was just like quiet. Like it was just like affecting me, you know? And,
I saw the trailer for it,
listen,
and I'm like, I can't commit to this.
You got to be in the right mood to watch it. It's heavy. I'm not. It's heavy.
I live this life. I don't want to have it.
But
a double
it's
dose.
Really well made, and some people are criticizing it. But I just think it's liberal.
People want to be
people. Yeah. They're offended for other people, kind of a thing. And they actually have no idea what's actually happening in a place like that. You know, and you know, some people are like, "Well, not everybody from Kentucky is like that." No, that's not what the movie's saying.
Yeah,
we're saying there are people like this.
This is one story of one family.
Exactly. Yeah. Why does everything have to anyway? But the movie, I highly recommend it.
If we could tell some stories of some people that we know, people wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like that person does not exist. Let me tell you, I know this person.
Not only do they exist, but there's a million other people like them.
Yes.
And that is happening. The things that happened in that movie are happening right now all over this country.
Yeah. People live.
It's a real problem.
People live in bubbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can't see outside of their bubble.
Yeah.
They want to identify with people outside their bubble. Mm-hmm. Which is why they get offended.
Yeah.
But they have no clue what it's like.
Yeah.
You live in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Well, that's a tough bubble to live in, this bubble that this kid grew up in. But the movie's really good. And the soundtrack was done by Hans Zimmer.
I like Hans Zimmer.
Hans did it again, man. Yeah. Like, I've been listening to this soundtrack all week. It is so good. There's one track of the soundtrack that's intense, and it's a bit much. You know, it's affecting for the movie, like it's good for that sense, but just to listen to, it's a little bit like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm going to turn it to the next one. But the whole soundtrack is beautiful. Like it's breathtaking. It's so good. It's like, and partially it's probably because I watched the movie. And so I had this emotional connection to that music in a way that I didn't realize I had it till I started listening to it, but it's really good. The Hans Zimmer soundtrack. So if you like soundtracks, I would listen to that one, which made me think, what would you say is the Hans Zimmer Mount Rushmore of movie soundtracks?
Okay, my gut.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you said Hans Zimmer is Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's good.
It's, yeah.
Now, listen, that's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It probably doesn't belong in the Mount Rushmore.
I didn't honestly even realize that he did Kung Fu Panda.
I'm almost 100% positive.
I mean, I've been doing a deep dive on him.
If you Google Hans Zimmer, Kung Fu Panda, I bet you he did it.
You know what?
Did he?
You're right.
I am
Hans
right.
Zimmer and John Powell. John Powell's pretty good too.
Yeah. So that soundtrack, I enjoy that soundtrack.
Okay.
I really do.
All right. So he did Hillbilly Elegy. I love Hillbilly Elegy, but I'm not going to say it belongs on the Mount Rushmore.
Interstellar.
These are not our favorites.
Interstellar.
Okay. I love Interstellar.
It's a great soundtrack.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I've
slept to that soundtrack many of times.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's very subtle, but the more you listen to it, the more you appreciate it.
Yes.
On Apple Music, they have what they call essential albums for an artist, and usually it'll just be two or three albums,
right,
depending on the artist, essential. So according to Apple Music, his essential albums are, like I said, I did some research, Inception,
mm-hmm,
Dark Knight,
yes,
and Lion King.
Okay. But Gladiator.
Gladiator is on my list.
He did Gladiator.
Excellent.
It is excellent.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put one up for sure. Kung Fu Panda doesn't belong. Hillbilly Elegy doesn't belong.
Interstellar.
Those might be our favorites.
Interstellar is Washington.
Okay, Interstellar.
And I'm okay with Dark Knight.
Dark Knight is very effective.
It is very effective.
It's not one that I listen to a lot, but a soundtrack is not necessarily something...
It's meant to be iconic.
Yes, there's a difference between a soundtrack that I like to listen to and a soundtrack that serves the movie the best. Sometimes those two things cross, but sometimes it's like, that's an amazing soundtrack, but I would never want to sit down and listen to it.
Yes.
So I think Dark Knight accomplishes that. I think another one that accomplishes that, that I'm not a big fan of, is Pirates of the Caribbean.
I was just going to say that, yeah. It, when you hear the music, it's perfect.
There's a Netflix original of Hans Zimmer live concert, and they're just going through the Hans Zimmer list greatest hits, and in the middle of it, he sits down and picks up a guitar and shreds on the guitar. Like, this is not fair.
Yeah.
You're good at everything, that one was pretty good. My son loves that song. Loves to play it on the piano.
Did he do Wonder Woman?
I guess he was part of Wonder Woman, but I don't think he did that Wonder Woman song that's so iconic. So I don't think we could give him that one.
I gotcha.
Boy, I'm having a hard time reading my writing. Oh, okay. All right. I know what that says. So Interstellar, we're going to put it on. Dark Knight, we're going to put on there.
Yeah.
I feel like The Lion King.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean over the Gladiator? Over Gladiator?
I think for iconic purposes.
And we don't have Inception on this list either.
Yeah.
I feel like Interstellar, Inception.
I agree. Interstellar takes it of those two.
I got it. Understood.
So Interstellar, Dark Knight.
Lion King.
Lion King.
And Pirates.
Pirates of the Caribbean. That's it. I'm excited
He did the Sherlock, the...
Yeah, I saw that. Last Samurai.
Yeah.
Which is very much like Kung Fu Panda. So he's listed to do Dune.
I know. I saw that.
I'm pretty excited. I hope.
Jason, I saw that.
This. I hope Dune is good.
I'm crossing my fingers that
the first one is not.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah. I've tried
so many
times.
The technology has caught up.
Yeah.
You're not. Have you watched
Not
Dune?
Yet.
You should listen to it.
Yeah, well, yes.
It's long.
So I know. It's like 21 hours, mm-hmm, the first book. Mm-hmm. On the library site, I went to queue it up. Like, it's like 89 weeks before I can.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's really. Because the movie's coming
out. So people
everybody's,
are trying to.
Yeah, everybody went to it. So
I have the book if you want to read it.
I don't have time for that.
That's fine. There are like 20 of them. So.
Yeah.
It's really good. The book is very good. I love the actor that they picked to play Paul Atreides, the main character. Like, yeah. I love that actor. He's in that movie, The King, which is a Netflix original.
I just want this to be good.
The actors in it look fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I went through, I was looking at all the actors. I'm like, I mean, I'm loving all of these.
Yeah.
Have you watched the trailer?
No.
It looks... Like, it looks awesome.
Man, do not let me down.
My hopes are really high. I just need this right now.
Yeah, I need this
like,
in my
I
life.
Like, I just need this.
2020 was a bad year. I really need Dune to be good.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, was there any more to that?
No, I think that's the definitive Mount Rushmore of Hans Zimmer soundtracks.
I like it. So, there's one thing that happened when we were kids. Or that reminds me of being a kid,
mm-hmm,
that I was able to duplicate with my nephew and niece just a couple days ago.
Okay.
On Saturday, we're driving home from, we're all at my dad's house, our dad's house. And my sister was behind us, mm-hmm, driving home.
Yeah.
And she was honking her horn, acting crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to a stop sign, and I was backing up and kind of goofing off with them.
Yeah.
And we turned on the next road and I would speed up to 80 miles an hour and then slow down to 25 and then speed up and, like, that whole thing. That was fun. Yeah. I remember Dad doing stuff like that.
Sure.
So now I get to replicate this stuff. Well, when we get to 23, I turn north on 23. She goes across 229 because she's going home.
Yeah.
I thought, this is perfect. I'm going to speed up on 23 and cut them off and be on their road.
Hilarious.
Which is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Sped on 23, cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting on their road.
Yeah.
And I see them come up.
Yeah.
I see their car because it's out in the country. There's no cars out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up behind me and you know they're freaking out at this point because they can see I'm hearing all this stuff. So we pull up to a stop sign and I yelled Chinese fire drill.
Mm-hmm.
And we all get out and run around the car.
It's racist.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't, I don't know how. Chinese fire drill?
How could it not be?
Chinese fire drill.
They probably call it crisscross carb sauce.
Crisscross applesauce?
I don't know.
It was a Chinese fire drill is what we did.
Yeah.
It was, if you don't know what that is, everybody gets out of the car and runs around the car.
Before the light turns green. But
yeah, we were a stop sign in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so I introduced my kids to this because they had not done this before.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we get up to...
Especially if you get two kids running the wrong way and then they smash each other in the head.
Yeah, well, we kind of had a little bit of that. The first time we did it, one of the kids fell down and hurt their knee. They came in the car crying.
Mm.
So we pull up to the next stop sign and we stop and then her kids get out and run around.
Oh, yeah.
So that was fun. And so
what's
then
more
my
fun
kids,
is to leave your kids when they get out of the car. Take off.
Yeah. Well, I just don't want any accidents.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we'll try to play it safe. The second time we stopped, another kid fell down, hurt his knee.
Mm.
So I got, what? How fast are you guys running?
Mm-hmm.
Just slow down.
Yeah.
You can have a controlled run and have fun.
Listen, sometimes fun.
You're going like 100 miles.
There's a Venn diagram, fun and safe, and they don't always, they don't
completely
overlap.
That's what I'm trying to teach my kids. I'm trying to teach my kids. There's.
All right. I think that's a show.
There's
I got other stuff to talk about. I got a whole thing about PBS, and I have a story about a time that I took a drug test, and it didn't go very well. But that's a story for another day.
Maybe next week.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
One could hope.
Yeah.
This is Dan signing off for Jason.
Wait. If you want to send some for the wall.
We'll take presents, and we'll open them up.
Yes.
On Christmas, our Christmas episode.
So email the show,
mm-hmm.
lowerroadradio@gmail.com.
And we'll tell you where to send it.
And we'll tell you where to send it. We'll tell you where to put that gift.
All right, this is Dan signing off for Jason, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.
Sit, baby, sit. Good dog.
I have spoken.